Out to the bone. You're listening to The Sideline on KLAY, 1180 AM, 584-1480. Those are the most important digits in your life, or unless you're in King County, then it's 253-804-5765. Toll-free number to get in touch, to get off the sideline, to get into the game. Tony, man, we're feeling today. It is Memorial Day weekend, except for the weather.
The weather doesn't buy me. The weather doesn't bother me.
It's the traffic.
It will be once I get back on the road. Anyone who's ever driven with me, you know the rage.
Especially behind minivans and buses.
Yeah.
Doesn't like it.
Don't like it.
Not having it.
City buses, I don't mind. It's them yellow buses.
You know what I mean? The ones with the red flashing lights.
Mm-hmm, and the stop signs and the little monsters. I mean, little children that come out of them.
You know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to feel that too. You know, at first I thought you didn't like the minivans because, you know, and I'm not going to pick on your height. You're a little bit shorter than the average person. Maybe I thought you couldn't see around them. But yeah, I see your point. You know, they just drive so slow. Got the soccer mom mentalities in there. And yeah, they get in your way. No doubt about it.
The worst thing about them is not even the fact that, you know, it's a soccer mom or any, you know, it could be a football mom for all I care. It's just the fact that they do this thing where you've seen it. You've seen it repeatedly where they know I'll be driving a certain speed and they will get in front of me driving less than my speed when I know as another driver, you are consciously aware of judging the speed that another car is coming before you get in front of them.
Maybe they're doing you a favor and trying to save you from a ticket.
No.
Maybe you should
thank
them. I
don't speed. I didn't say, I'm not a speeder. I don't drive fast. I just drive with purpose. There's a difference. There's a big difference.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not a speeder.
You know where you're going.
I know where I'm
and
going, and
there.
I know how to get there.
Exactly.
I know.
You know the back roads.
I know how to get
there. I'll give you that. You know the back roads.
I know how to get there.
You could have been a moonshine runner back in your past life. That's a fact. You know how to get places.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly here, let's you know what? Let's do this. We're talking about we're going to have the Tacoma Cobras here in the studio in a little bit. If you don't mind going out of turn, can we do the fast lane segment, get that out of the way so we can talk about some important business at the last half of the hour?
Ow.
Oh. We do an elbow drop on the chair right there.
Yep, I showed it by Randy Macho
Man.
I know
you want to talk about the publication.
Yes, I do.
So let's
do
the fast lane segment now. That way, when the Cobras get here, we can put them right on, and we can save that for segment number 4. Does that work for you? Works for me. Fast lane segment is sponsored by The Loose Wheel, the motorsports headquarters for the Northwest. The Loose Wheel will be opening at 9 a.m. this Sunday for the Indianapolis 500. Followed by the NASCAR Sprint Series Coca-Cola 600 at 3:15. Nationwide racing is mañana, tomorrow, at 11:45 a.m. with the TechNet Auto Service 300. Where else but the Loose Wheel would you want to watch exciting racing action? Log on to loosewheel.com today and see how to get your pit pass.
That's some good info. That's some jolly good info.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my game today.
All right, everybody, you ready?
I'm ready.
You're in the car. You feel the throttle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Someone passed me the water bottle through the window.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get her done.
I need to get some sound effects from inside of a racer's car.
Meep, meep.
You hear the full throttle and everything.
Meep.
Full throttle. How
meep,
about
meep.
That? Okay, folks, are you ready to get down the nitty-gritty of your Sprint Cup Series? Number one, Kevin Harvick, and I'm enjoying saying this name for the past, I think, three or four weeks now. I didn't think the day would come where I wouldn't be uttering Johnson's name week after week after week after week, but I have him. It's refreshing. I'll still say his name. He's in the top 10. He's not going to go away, but he's not that top dog anymore. Kevin Harvick, number one. Kyle Busch at one point. Gotta love a Kyle Busch. Any guy with a WWE connection. Matt Kenseth up 2 points. The number two. Jimmy Johnson down to number four. Oh, how the mighty do fall. Denny Hamlin.
Everybody.
Up a point to five. Jeff Gordon down 2 points to six. Don't let the skid fall too fast, Jeff. I like you, man. Get on the ball. Greg Biffle. Even at 7, right where he was last week. Jeff Burton's up to number 8. Kurt Busch is down to 9. Carl Edwards is back in the top 10. Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Your nationwide series, Radikalowski, staying steady at number one. What they call him, Steady Eddie, drop the Brad. Kyle Busch at number two, followed by Kevin Hardwick and Carl Edwards. You just get so familiar with these names because they're there all the time. Justin Allgaier, still at five. Paul Menard, still at six. The only things that are different in this top ten are Greg Biffle's up, Joey Logano's down, Jason Leffler's up, and Brian Scott has made it into the top ten to round that out, up 2 points from last week. This weekend, it's racing from Charlotte with the Nationwide Series running the TechNet Auto Service 300, and it's tomorrow. You can watch it. Race starts off at 11:45. Sprint Series drops the green flag on Coca-Cola 600 Sunday at 3:15 p.m., folks. You want to make sure you get out. You want to make sure you watch it. You want to make sure you're at the loose wheel. Your headquarters for sports.
Even if you drink Pepsi, I don't care about the Coca-Cola. You know, and of course, they open at 9, and they do serve breakfast. They open at 9 on Sunday because of the Indianapolis 500. Do you watch the Indy 500?
Sometimes. Hey, what? Does that mean I could have my Crispitos with a side of scrambled eggs and bacon?
I bet you could.
Hmm.
Tony's a big fan of the loose wheel Crispitos.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, and eggs and bacon.
And of course, eggs and bacon. And of course, you have a bacon story, don't you?
It's bacon. I don't know. What?
That whole bacon sausage thing you had growing up?
Oh. I don't think my sister wants to be embarrassed like that.
You always wanted to talk about the realism of who we are as regular people, not just on the radio. Tony, yeah. What's up with bacon and sausage?
Okay. You know, like how all these restaurants have all these bacon commercials now, like bacon crazy. Wendy's has the Baconator, and Jack in the Box has the ultimate bacon list and the bacon that, and McDonald's has their Angus burgers with, right, bacon, with bacon and stuff now, okay?
And even the dog would get his own bacon if he had thumbs.
Yeah, and you remember how the Mike's Hard Lemonade commercials was like, what's your guys' favorite food? Bacon cheeseburger. We like to drink Mike's bacon cheeseburger. So they're just playing around, joking with like that Mike's Hard Lemonade with the hint of bacon cheeseburger. And it was like, ew. So a vodka company comes out with
bacon-flavored
vodka.
I hear that's actually good in...
haven't tried it because
Bloody Marys.
I love bacon, but I don't love to drink it.
I hear it's good in Bloody Marys, but... You know,
don't drink those either.
And it does smell just like bacon.
The thing. You know, you see me, I definitely fit in that bacon lovers category, but not always.
Right.
This is like the new transformed version of me. That's... the Baconator type
the new Tony
type of guy. Yeah. Growing up, hated bacon. Couldn't get me to eat it. Wouldn't eat it. My poor mother, we put her through it. My sister and myself. Whenever my mom ordered anything for us or made anything for us, it was totally the tale of two opposites. My sister was bacon, bacon, bacon. And I decided, hey, sausage, sausage, sausage. Whenever we go out, it had to be sausage for me, bacon for her. Sausage for me, bacon for her. Wouldn't eat bacon. Wouldn't look at it, couldn't stand it. You know, you put it on my plate, I would like rather starve myself and be like I was a little 3-year-old Gandhi and not just eat for days if all I had was bacon and no sausage. So anyway, poor mom, you know, we put her through it pretty bad, my sister and I, with our differences, you know, whether if it was bacon and sausage or chocolate and strawberries. I mean, it's always something extreme.
Now, were you the type of kid, too, when you were growing up that nothing could touch each other on the plate? If your macaroni and cheese touched the ketchup,
I wasn't that kind of way when I was a kid. I'm not that way now, neither with my sister. But I've noticed in her old age, because I'm very young and very lovely looking, even in my sister's older age now, because she is older than me, I will see, you've gone out to eat with us before. There's no real big problems with the food touching while it's on your plate.
Right.
But she will organize it. If she's getting a to-go box, she will organize it in a certain little manner. She won't let the waitress or the servers box up her own stuff because everything has to go specifically in its own spot, which is weird because in those styrofoam plates, some of them don't even have
the little dividers.
How do you even have a spot?
spaghetti on one side, meatballs on the other. Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it was nothing like that as children. But we grow into these tendencies as we get older. Just weird.
So there you go. A little bit of a meat Tony for you there. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to figure out how to do it. I'm going to do it today.
You're going to find out how to meet me?
I do have video.
I'll make it easy for you.
Hey, I'm Tony. How you doing? Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
I actually have video of Tony. We went to Charlie's. Was that Friday night we were at Charlie's?
It was Saturday.
Saturday night. We were at Charlie's in Faircrest, and I have video of Tony rocking the Queen.
Alleged
hit.
Video.
No, not alleged. I have it. I have it. I have it on my phone. I have it on the computer. I'm going to have it on the website of Tony doing the Queen hit, crazy little thing called Love. I actually got a really good round of applause. You represented well on that one. I was impressed.
Don't buy it. I'm not buying it.
He's a karaoke master, no doubt about it.
It wasn't R. Kelly in the video. It wasn't me in the video.
It wasn't T.O. in the video either.
It wasn't T.O. What the, huh?
You know, you look like T.O.
No. Well, apparently I look like Most Def.
Yeah, you even got that that night.
Tony looks like everybody but Tony, folks. It's mind-boggling to moi.
You even got that night. I was all, yeah. We were just talking about that, and you got that, so... Hey, there was a segment covering bacon and Most Def for you here on the Sideline
Sports. Definitely
don't
get that on Brock.
On a Sports Talk Show, 584-1480, toll-free from King County, 253-804-5765. Those are the numbers to get off the sideline into the game. It's the Sideline on KLAY.
Join us after this next break. We're speaking Big Ben and the Raiders.
Hey, it's Pete from the Sideline. You know I have no problem giving my opinion, so here's another opinion just for you. The Sideline can make your next wedding, school dance, or any event more memorable. Call us up for info on our mobile DJ service and see what we can do for you. 253-292-7233. That's 253-292-7233. Or check us out online at www.onthesl.com. Bring the Sideline to you.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Man, not a whole lot. Trying to put together this stuff my girl bought, but I don't have the time or the patience.
Why don't you just call Northwest Services?
Who?
Northwest Services, the professional assembly guys, commercial or residential. They come out and assemble everything, whether it's lawn and garden equipment like mowers, carts, wheelbarrows, patio, home, or office furniture.
What's their number?
503-266-5833.
Man, thanks a lot. I'm going to call them right now.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty, it's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Yes, you're listening to the Sideline at KLAY 1180. And you know what? Don't forget, if you cannot get the Sideline where you're at, if you are nationwide, because our listenership is growing by the hour, you can stream us online. Go to KLAY1180.com. Click on the Listen Live link worldwide. Take the Sideline with you. And if you miss anything or you want to go back and listen to a past show, go to Podomatic.com. Easy to find us, the Sideline on KLAY. We do podcast each and every single one of our shows, so you don't have to miss any of the Sideline action.
Yep, Pete.
What happened?
But I don't know if you caught it or not, but I just had to slap myself silly.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was actually entertained by that.
Man, oh man. So, you know how like last week I mentioned that we had like listeners across the nation?
Yes.
Dude, somebody call Border Patrol because
we have listeners across
borders.
We've
just crept over the border.
Oh, there we go.
Hopefully we're not going to cause any international incidents. But, yeah, we got Canadian listeners.
Oh, yeah?
Your
Canadian friends over there in north of Buffalo there?
Mm-hmm. In Montreal.
Quebec fans, maybe even, huh? Of course, they don't have the Expos anymore. You know, do you want to say hello to Latasha in Colorado Springs? She's listening. She's listening online. So tell your friends. Let's get this stuff going coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
Take the sideline everywhere. Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
The Cobras haven't made it in yet, but that's okay. They're probably sitting there sharpening their knives, getting ready for the Tacoma Invaders, so I certainly understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll have them on next week before they go against, not the schedule, but the regular season.
I think they have some time off.
The fact they have a bye week next week, and then the regular season kicks off June 12th. And then they're home for their first home game on June 19th. They start the season off in Portland.
Here's the one thing. Here's the real bad negative about winning a game 83-7.
A bad negative as opposed to a good negative?
Yeah. Because check this out.
I suppose there could be good negatives. Go ahead. Preach on, Brother Tony.
There could be. Okay. So in a game where you're playing and you're running the score up, 83-7. I won't say running the score up, but you're playing the game and you're scoring constantly. And
right.
The end result is 83-7. Okay. There's only so many plays you can do because you don't want to give out in the preseason.
Right.
Your complete playbook, because you know people are there, they're scouting, there's film of these games, just like there's films of the NFL games.
Right.
So that's a really, really bad negative there, because you're running so many plays in an offensive game where you're scoring 83 points.
The problem with that game was every single thing the Tacoma Cobras did worked. You know, and it's like Theo said, they weren't out there after a while to intentionally do that. But what are you supposed to do when the lane opens wide up and you can walk right into the end zone? I mean, you're not going to stop.
I know. You would almost think that they had no passing attack at all when this team is phenomenal in the air.
Right.
But they had to run the ball, because if they hadn't ran the ball and they would have just stayed in a passing offense,
it would have been 140-7.
Oh, Lord. We'd still be there.
They would have killed them. You know, and they'd still be there. That brings up a good point. I want to point out the fact that they scored 83 points. And after, I think, the first 70 points, they went against the rules and gave the Pierce County Bengals a running clock. They did that with the clock running. Incompletions, timeouts, didn't matter.
I think they actually implemented that running clock 5 minutes into the third quarter.
Yeah, that's how much.
Yeah,
how long.
There was 10 plus minutes in the third quarter left to go in the third quarter. 10 plus minutes when they just decided to just run the clock out. No stoppages, and you know.
So I'm going to play the hometown guy right here. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can remove your caps, and let's have a moment of silence for the Pierce County Bengals. That's enough.
Yeah.
They're done. Stick a fork in them. There's no way they can rebound from that. That was one of the most horrible expositions of football I've seen in a long time on the Bengals' part, and one of the best that I've seen in a long time on the Cobras' part. That was a good football game.
Definitely.
Very entertaining. It was a lot of fun to be the play-by-play announcing team for that game. Tony actually playing triple duty. Not only did Tony do play-by-play in the stadium, Tony played all the music, and Tony did the play-by-play on the Ustream video.
Well, Tony doesn't like to toot his own horn, but I am going to pat myself on the back for that one. I mean,
you showed up at that one.
Come on now.
You showed up at that game.
It was fun. It was definitely tough. Concentration was all over the place. It's my concentration. Okay. I don't even know how I stayed as focused as I did. Anyone who is close to me knows that I'm severely ADD. And it's the fact that I could actually keep my brain functioning on three separate simultaneous tasks. It's just mind-boggling to myself. I think it was probably one of those out-of-the-body experiences when I was there. I was out of my body, out of my mind, almost as out of my skulls as those players were down there on the field. I mean, those guys were phenomenal Saturday night.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game. You know, in fact, I just got an email from, looks like, Thomas. He's the director of game day operations for the Cobras, and they're posting a sign on the door: only authorized personnel can enter the booth after the exposition of anger put forth by the Tacoma or the Pierce County Bengals fans. So, you know, I want to apologize to that lady. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Get your players to play better next week. Maybe your feelings won't get hurt. So there you go.
Yeah. So let's get on. What do we got? We got Big Bat Ben back in the house.
Well, he can't be that bad. He got cleared to play already. Or not play, but practice. How bad can he be?
He's bad enough that we don't know if he's going to be suspended 6 games or 4.
Probably 2. Roger Goodell obviously is in love with the guy.
No. It will not. I thought it would definitely be four.
But they'll figure out a way to make that happen. Ben will be knighted by the Royal British Army or something and get a pass to play after 2 games. Roger Goodell handed him Super Bowl 40, so Roger Goodell handed him clearance to start practicing already. So Roger Goodell.
I think that was Paul.
Was it Tegley Boo?
Mm-hmm. Paul handed him.
Well, Roger Super Goodell Bowl 40. Was there somewhere.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell had something.
He was there lying in the weights.
I'm not a big Goodell fan, in case you can't tell.
I wasn't, and Goodell, for 95% of the issues, I'm probably on the other side of the table debating him and arguing him about his policies. But I got to give it to him. The man stood up, you know, and he really put himself out there on the line, making this precedence with the Ben Roethlisberger case.
Roger Goodell can go somewhere that rhymes with his name.
He can go to Riddell High all the greasers.
I'll leave that for you. So, yeah. So there you go. Big Ben cleared to practice with the Steelers. I want to talk about this other thing that we have with football right now. Jamarcus Russell, arguably one of the biggest flops. One of the biggest flops
paid
in NFL history. I had to wait to see if you're gonna drop that on me there. $39 million paid. The guy's got, and now the Raiders want some of their money back. What's gonna happen with that?
I don't know. I'm just gonna sit here and pretend like I'm a bullfrog and say paid. Anytime the man's name is brought up, paid. That's all you can hear.
He got paid. Some bank, man.
Paid, and now they want him to pay him back, unpaid.
I think the only hope they have with getting any of their money back is they want some of the money back for the 2010 to 2012 advances that he got. This guy got $39 million, and he needs an advance on his salary.
Hey, even superstar football players who aren't any good need a payday advance. We get them. Not in that amount, but we don't make that much to pay that back anyway. So, I mean, you know, if you made $39 million and you need a few million advance, I ain't mad at you.
I'm going to go on record now and say,
furious at you.
The first year we make $39.4 million, I'm not going to ask for an advance from the following year.
How dare you?
I'm not going to do it.
How dare you?
I'm not going to do it.
How dare you not ask an advance of $10 million after you just get paid $39 million? What's wrong with you?
I'm going to be better with my money, man.
You're losing what little hair you have left.
McDonald's still has... You know what I just noticed? You haven't shaved this week.
No, I haven't.
Is it because of the weather?
No, it's because I've been so busy with life, I haven't had time. I mean, like, I literally, my minutes are so precious.
So with
I have very few of them.
With that short hair you got going on and the mustache you got working right above the top lip there, you're getting back into your Luda days. I've said many years ago you used to look like Luda. Now you got it coming back.
I don't know. I mean, like, he's got the short hair rocking, but I think just the fact that we were both two young black males with braids and big hair.
About the same height,
so
too.
So people made the comparison.
About the same height.
You know, same hair, same color, same whatever. Oh, yeah, they look alike. So.
And I just listened to one of your Diamond Cut Hustlers CDs out in the the transportation on the way here to the show, and talents there, so yeah, I can see the resemblance. We'll have to get that. We're gonna get that song. I'm telling you, we're gonna get the song. If you go to our website on thesl.com, you're gonna be able to hear one of Tony's songs here within the next day or so. Promise you that. So there's some football news for you, Tony. Any money the Raiders can get back, and where is Jamarcus Russell gonna wind up?
Okay, I don't know. I imagine the $10 million that they're seeking is for advances that were paid to him. Okay. Now, I have to say shame on the Raiders organization and head office for advancing somebody $10 million who you've already paid almost $40 million.
Right. So there we go. There's the music.
They don't deserve their money back.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and Al Davis was in love with the guy, so chalk it up to a loss. Davis, get over it. Going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the sideline right after these next 2 minutes, 584-1480. We're toll-free from King County, 253-804-5765. We're coming back with the UPS, the University of Puget Sound head trainer, Craig Bennett. Don't go anywhere. It's the sideline. Okay, LAY.
Tired of playing Guitar Hero? You want to be a Guitar Hero? Or maybe you just got some business needs like mixing, mastering, video production, project productions, press kits, voiceovers, duplications, sound or lighting. Whatever it is, from head to toe, the boys down at Pacific Studios have you covered. The address, 2328 Pack Avenue. The phone number, 253-272-2010. Ask for Mark and tell him Tony sent you.
Chuck Boland. That's the way the ball bounces on 1180 AM KLAY.
Lloyd Landis is a liar and a cheat, so of course anything he has to say is instant credibility. You'll recall Landis' surprise win in the Tour de France in 2006 when his performance was uncharacteristically akin to a superhero. 4 days later, after his urine sample exploded in the test tube, he was stripped of his win and declared a performance-enhancing doper extraordinaire. He fought that until he couldn't stand the laughter his pleas of innocence generated, and now he's come clean, so to speak. Yes, he was pumping his body full of substances for several years, but he had more to say, since everyone does it, is the defense for everyone from tax cheats to politicians hiking the Appalachian Trail. Not overly original in his claims, Landis points the finger at Lance Armstrong, seven-time winner of the Tour, who's been accused by everyone, mostly French people, of cheating for years with nothing ever proved. But Landis's claims have gotten a lot of press, not because he's credible, but because he had something damaging about a celebrity. Do I know for sure Armstrong stayed clean throughout his career? Heck no. But I'm not going to listen to a source like Floyd Landis. This is Chuck Boland, and that's the way the ball bounces.
There you go, that's Chuck Boland, and that's the way the ball bounces right here on the sideline on KLAY. We are going to welcome to the show a guest from the University of Puget Sound. He is the head trainer in charge of all the athletic teams out there. Mr. Craig Bennett, are you there?
I am.
Hello, Craig. This is Tony. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how's it going?
Pretty good. Now, before we get into things, I got to heck of you a little bit about and let all the listeners know how difficult it was to get you on the show. It's kind of a funny story there. When I called you to see if you would be a guest this week, you kind of didn't believe that everything was going down as it was stated it was going down. So just to fill people in, I called them up and introduced myself, and I told him that I was from the Sideline Sports Show on 1180 KLAY, and I'd like to have him as a guest on our show. And he starts laughing, and I was like, wow.
It's okay, Craig. I don't believe him halftime either.
Yeah, and so he thought I was pulling his leg, and so why don't you explain a little further as to what you thought was going on.
Sure, it's a little embarrassing. I think that, you know, really I've got a handful of friends. I was a college soccer athlete and recently kind of was given a nice award by the university I went to. I went to Chapman University, and so recently I was told I was going to be inducted into the Chapman University Athletic Hall of Fame, and so I've been in contact with about 30 or 40 friends and then another 30 or 40 women that I coached a number of years ago at the university, and I've got a number of friends that really like to give me a hard time at times, and so I just thought it was one of them that was pulling my leg and trying to have a little fun with me at the time, and so it was a a coincidence when Tony gave me a call that it was right after I'd been communicating with a bunch of my friends. So I thought it was one of my friends winding me up, and they're pretty good at that. And so, but I apologized, and once I knew it was the real deal, then I wanted to make sure that Tony knew that I apologized and that he had me, and I want to make sure that I fulfill anything you guys need me to be to participate in. So,
in fact, here on the sideline, we're huge when it comes to the South End sports. We call ourselves Sports Talk for the Community, and University of Puget Sound, the Loggers, great athletic program, such a huge portion of the student body turns out for Logger athletics, and being the head athletic trainer or the main guy, it's natural we're going to have you on the show. What exactly is it that you do for UPS?
You hit it. I'm our head athletic trainer, and I'm responsible for the sports medicine coverage for all 17 of our sports, 23 different teams, and we've got about 500 outstanding student athletes that we're responsible for. So along with our other two full-time athletic trainers and our team physicians, I coordinate the medical services. And so everything from right now, I'm at the NCAA Rowing Championships with our women's rowing team that we finished our first day of competition and finishing up tomorrow. And so the NCAA Championships, so you kind of tell them, I'm involved with all of our sports in one way or another, as is the rest of our staff. So it's a pretty good place to be and a lot of great student athletes to work with.
Now, you mentioned that you guys are in competition in a rowing meeting. Exactly where are you guys at?
We're in Lake Natoma in Sacramento, California at the NCAA Rowing Championships, and it's a great event. We're here with eight other schools here from the, in Division III from across the country. And then also it's a great event because you've got the Division I teams here and Division II teams. So we're getting a chance to, we're not competing against them, but we get a chance to watch, UCLA, USC, Clemson, Virginia, Yale, some of the best women's athletes in the sport right now, and some of them quite possibly in the world at the Division I level. And Puget Sound is here. I'm not sure how many years consecutively. I want to say 5 or 6 years we've been here consecutively to the NCAA championships at the Division III level. So that's where we are right now.
So that's a good experience then for the UPS athletes, no doubt. Now,
most definitely.
If someone was listening and they heard you correctly, you said 17 sports, 23 different teams. That is huge for any school, and definitely for UPS. What types of sports are out there that people might not be aware that UPS competes in?
Well, we've got all the traditional sports, obviously, football and basketball and, baseball. We've got all the traditional sports, including soccer. A couple of the ones that are outliers, certainly. We have men's and women's rowing teams. We have women's lacrosse. And then everything from tennis and golf to soccer, volleyball, cross country, indoor, outdoor track. So we do have a fairly large athletic department in terms of the number of student athletes and the number of sports. And, I would guess, I think it's about 20% of the student body, because we've got about 2,500 students in on campus. 20% of them are student athletes.
Okay. Now on a trainer's aspect of on the training end of the business of your job, with all these different athletes that you do, I know like a rower and a swimmer are going to use different muscles in their workouts and stuff like that.
Sure.
Then a football player or someone who plays baseball or something. So when you teach these, well, not teach, but when you talk to all these different types of athletes, are you telling them, like, as far as their how the prep their body and warm up and stuff like that, is it pretty much general and vanilla, or do you get into specifics because of each different muscle groups that different athletes have to use?
Sure, it can be everything as simple as what you're describing in terms of certainly our rowing athletes are like our runners, they're endurance athletes, and so their bodies, their conditioning and the wear and tear that specific parts of their body take is more endurance related as opposed to with football and basketball or soccer where there's acute injuries, an ankle sprain, a knee injury, a shoulder injury that comes as a result of contact. The number of sports that we have certainly affords us the ability to work with endurance athletes. We've got I think our 10K champion and our men's cross country conference champion the past 2 years running in Francis Reynolds, working with a guy like him to working with a number of our women's soccer players. There's all the different sports are going to have something different, and I think it's probably easier to break it up into the endurance sports versus the contact sports, just because, you know, contact, we're going to deal with things a little bit more unpredictably, where, you know, with our endurance sports, there's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of teaching them how to handle the wear and tear that their bodies take over time, because that's really going to be their nemesis, as opposed to, say, somebody running into them. And so certainly the mindset with helping them prepare is certainly, you know, a big part of it. And the great thing about it is we've got a group of outstanding coaches at the University of Puget Sound, and they're really committed to their student-athletes, and they're committed to trying to advance them every year with, you know, even during the season, with something new. And, you know, our coaches are definitely not stagnant, and they're looking to keep up with their sport. And so that certainly makes a difference for our student-athletes as well.
Now, one of the things you were talking about there, you're talking about maintenance. I know that the NCAA has rules as far as the interaction between the coaches and the players during off-season times. Does that apply to you, or do you work with the athletes as far as an off-season regimen as well?
You know, we still are going to be limited in terms of the type of strength and conditioning in terms of a general sense. You know, Division III has some different rules than Division II and Division I do in the off-season. You're certainly correct about that. And, you know, we can certainly participate with, you know, student athletes that have injuries that carry over into the summer, if they've got rehab or they've had a surgery that needs to be followed up with. You know, from that aspect, we're still available for the student athletes. But when it comes to general conditioning, strength conditioning programs, you know, there's some pretty significant differences in what student athletes at the Division III level can participate in. And so the coaches certainly, you know, and we have to be aware of it too, certainly have to understand you know, what those things are in terms of they can't have organized group workouts with coaches or with a strength conditioning coach, but they can have individual workouts that they can do, and the coach can certainly, or we can prescribe them based on if they've got a weakness or an issue that they need to maybe focus on that's going to help them perform better. Say it's somebody that has chronic hamstring strains, and so we want to help them with a better program that's going to go with their general strengthening conditioning program. We can certainly help them out with things like that.
Okay, now, when it comes to contact sports and bumps and bruises and getting hurt, it seems like athletes come back so much easier, so much faster, so much better than the average everyday person. So a lot of that has to do with you athletic trainers. And I want to know, I understand that the medicine and the technology that you guys use is really superior today compared to what it was 20 years ago. But are athletes that much better, like, body-wise? Do they heal faster, or is it the medicine? And should I, like, fire my personal physician and go and hire myself an athletic trainer? Because I see these athletes get hurt, and then I've sprained an ankle. I've had a bum shoulder, and I didn't heal in 2 weeks. And so, I mean, like, you guys are doing incredible jobs with these athletes, and how do they bounce back so quick?
Sure. I think a lot of it has to do with the individual themselves. You know, we see it, you know, with the number of athletes that we have, and I know, you know, I have colleagues that work at other institutions across the country and certainly locally at all different levels, Division I, II, and III, and it's really, I think a lot of it's going to come down to the athlete, but certainly these days we have a lot more. You know, there's certainly a lot more awareness of certain concepts and certain treatment options that we might have, whether it's with certain modalities like muscle stimulation or using ultrasound, or, you know, there's a lot of other things that come out that a lot of the bigger schools have access to try and see if it works. And certainly the athletic trainers work in accordance with their team physicians. And so I think it's a combination of both. I think, you know, athletes know that if, you know, 40 years ago, you know what's happening, you've kind of probably been familiar with what's happening with all these NFL players that, you know, certainly were just told, let's go ahead and just keep playing, and really there wasn't a lot of knowledge of maintenance and care for their bodies at the time, and what situation they're in now is, you know, in their 60s and 70s. But right now, I think athletes have an understanding of, you know, if I take care of this quickly, I'm going to get better faster, and it won't last as long, and it won't bother me as long, or I can keep it from getting worse, which allows me to compete and maybe tolerate something that's not going to bother me as much, as opposed to having to tolerate something that they let go and don't take care of. And so I think a lot of it is knowledge. I think a lot of it is education, and a lot of it is the athlete themselves. What's their mental toughness? What's their mental approach? You know, we all have different thresholds and different tolerances for pain and competition, and, you know, I think that's a significant component of it as well. And, you know, sometimes a part of our job is helping student athletes find out how much they can, one, tolerate safely, but may even challenge themselves a little farther than they think they might be able to be, But at the same time, we've also got to put limitations on that we don't make that we make sure that we're not putting them in a situation where they could potentially do more harm to themselves, you know, in the name of competition.
Okay, the music's on. We've just ran out of time. We do thank you for your call in and sharing all the knowledge and information that you had with us about the insides of sports from an athletics point of view, with the trainer's perspective.
Greg, we thank you for coming on the air, and good luck with the rowing competition there in California.
Go Loggers.
There you go. Go Loggers.
You know it. Go Loggers. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you. Bye. You're listening to The Sideline on KLAY. We've got the Tacoma Cobras coming up next, 584-1480. Toll free from King County, 253-804-5765. It's The Sideline on KLAY.
Hey, it's Pete from The Sideline. You know I have no problem giving my opinion, so here's another opinion just for you. The Sideline can make your next wedding, school dance, or any event more memorable. Call us up for info on our mobile DJ service and see what we can do for you. 253-292-7233. That's 253-292-7233. Or check us out online at www.onthesl.com. Bring The Sideline to you.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Man, not a whole lot. Trying to put together this stuff my girl bought, but I don't have the time or the patience.
Why don't you just call Northwest Services?
Who?
Northwest Services, the professional assembly guys, commercial or residential. They come out and assemble everything, whether it's lawn and garden equipment like mowers, carts, wheelbarrows, patio, home, or office furniture.
What's their number?
503-266-5833.
Man, thanks a lot. I'm going to call them right now.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison is the kind of thing you're not supposed to touch. Old prescriptions, cleaning stuff, or spider bites and such. If you swallowed something bad or think you took too much, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're the people you can trust.
For poison emergencies or just questions, the Poison Control Center hotline is here 24/7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. We hope you never need us, but keep our number by the phone.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
A message from your Poison Control Center.
There you go. The final countdown as we're in the final segment of The Sideline on KLAY. The numbers, if you want to talk football with the head coach, Tacoma Cobra, is 584-1480. Or toll free from the county north of us, 253-804-5765. Dave McEachern in studio with us right now, the head coach of your 2009 PDFL Tacoma Cobras. Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
What happened last week? That was probably one of the most severe whoopings I've seen anybody put on anybody in football in my entire lifetime. That was amazing. You guys tore it up.
I just think that the guys prepare well. They work out. And, you know, preseasons are made to build chemistry and teamwork, and it showed.
So as far as, you know, we were talking to Theo because we come down to the Ram. You guys have your weekly Cobra radio show here on KLAY 630 every Monday night at the Ram. So we come down there for that. And he said you actually found areas to improve after that game.
Yes, we have a lot to improve on. You know, to me, you know, you can always find strengths and weaknesses. And my job is to pat you on the back when you do something right and correct the things when you do something wrong. So we have a lot of fixing to do, just timing-wise. And getting players to gel and, you know, finishing a lot of things that we do instead of just going 75%.
Okay. And going into last week's game on Saturday night, before you were here a few segments ago, we were speaking about the game because we were there, as you know. And I brought up to my co-host over there, Pete, the temptation of how hard it must have been to, and it's in a game where it's 83-7 and your offense is completely dominating and you're always on the field, how difficult it must have been to not just run through your entire playbook, you know, just doing other things. But you cleared that up for us off air, and just let the listeners know what you let us know inside the booth once you got here.
We ran 8 different plays the whole game.
That's it, folks. I mean, they ran 8 plays that entire game.
I think they scored twice on each of them. You know?
A little more than that. 83-7. That's incredible.
I'm not out to, you know, us as the Cobras, we're not out to embarrass anybody. But at the same time, it's not our job to worry about the other team.
Right.
You know, our players are getting ready for the regular season, and I'm not going to tell anybody to take a knee. You know, I'm not, you know, going to tell anybody to stop playing.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how injuries happen. So it was hard for our guys to continue to go all out, and I don't believe they did. And that was one of the things that we did talk about at practice this week.
You know, in all fairness, too, it wasn't like in the second half you guys were out there throwing bombs down the length of the field. You ran the ball a majority of the time, so it's not like you were intentionally doing that. You know, you gave your running game a good workout. But like you say, what are you supposed to do when you're that dominant over the opposing team? And that was one of the things I was trying to get across to the people that weren't happy. Sorry, you know.
Right.
You know, there was once a great NFL coach that said, you know, I will quit trying to score on you when you quit trying to score on me. It's football.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the great quotes. I mean, you can't tell players at this level to stop playing. Our staff doesn't teach that. We're never going to teach that. And, again, it's not our responsibility to stop ourselves.
Now, this is real life. And in real life, you tend to try not to deal in what ifs. But what if you guys would have thrown the ball? I mean, we really didn't get to see too much of it because the situation was already out of control, so it didn't warrant a lot of the different plays that you could have ran. But, I mean,
I said it would have been 140-7.
You know, well,
it would have been ridiculous.
Well, the speech I gave the team yesterday at practice was I wasn't satisfied or happy with a lot of things because the score – for one, they should have never scored, and two, it should have been double what we had.
You know, that's and not to harp on a point you just brought up, but in my opinion, that was the second week now that there was a score that the other team shouldn't have scored. You know, the first week against the Terminators, the punt that the ill-fated punt, that was kind of a bummer too. You guys are so close to shutting them down on the defensive side of the ball. That must be kind of frustrating to have back-to-back weeks where.
Exactly, and that's the little things that we talked about all week is the special teams, finishing the play, just doing things right. And you know, if you don't know, ask.
And that's the key to this league is you guys give the players the opportunity to make that transitional step from maybe college to hopefully the CFL, the
European League or the Arena League. And we have two people over in Europe right now that are playing.
Now – in the history of professional sports and preseason games and exhibition games, has there ever been 3 players to gain 1,000 yards rushing in preseason exhibition games? Because it looks like your guys, Anthony McQueen and Marcus Reed, and I can't recall big number 90, but it looks like these guys are there or are very close to it.
They are. But it always helps to have a line at 385 across the front.
You have some talent to work with.
With good feet. And, you know, with the addition of our center from last year, Tony Grote, it makes a big difference. So we'll be throwing the ball a lot more during regular season. You know, Kenny's getting used to the system, and he's one of those running quarterbacks, Michael Vick-ish type of players. And so we have plays specially for him, and, you know, our quarterback from last year will be here in June.
Your punter must be awful lonely.
Yeah.
He didn't get the.
So is our kicker.
Your kicker is amazing. Yeah, the kicking game you guys have is phenomenal. You know, I wish we had more time. We're gonna have to get you back here real soon because we're
absolutely
huge Cobra fans. We support you every way we can. In fact, we'll be out there this Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Tacoma Cobras taking on the Tacoma Invaders, an all-star team that's going to try and get the Cobras. Yeah, good luck with that. So, Mr. McEachern, thank you for coming out.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Sideline at KLOAC. Cairo 7 News coming up next. Check us out online on thesl.com.
Reminding you to get off the sidelines and into the game.
Thanks, Sideliners.
Thanks, guys.
Keeping you informed, this is K.